إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد، my dear brothers and sisters, I changed the order of our khutbat and we will continue that from next Jumma, inshallah, of Surah Al-Luqman and the lessons from that because of this topic of triple talaq which is floating around and causing a lot of confusion. So I think it is also one of the purposes of the Jumma to clarify any doubts and so on and so forth. So I thought let me do that today, inshallah. So listen carefully. I'm not making any rules here. I'm just explaining to you what the rules are. And the reason why I'm explaining to you what the rules are is because when I wrote an article on this a couple of weeks ago, every single person who commented on it, Hindus or Muslims, Muslims or non-Muslims, some of them are not Hindu but not Muslim, every single one of them said this is the first time we heard this. So it's very strange that Muslims who have been married for decades and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you barakah in your marriages and keep you happy together as long as you are alive, who have been married for decades had no clue what the method of talaq actually is according to the Quran and Sunnah. And this is a reality. If you go on the street today and ask practically any Muslim or any non-Muslim, what is the way to give talaq in Islam, they will say talaq, talaq, talaq. Try it and see if you don't believe me. Just go outside and ask somebody in Islam what is the method of giving talaq, they will say saying talaq, saying the word talaq three times. So let me begin by telling you that this is not, N-O-T, not the way to give talaq in Islam. To give talaq in this way is haram, haram, haram. And this is the opinion of all the four a'imma of fiqh. I'm not making the opinion. This is the opinion of Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmad and Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, that this way of giving talaq is haram. Number two, proof of that is also the fact that if you have seen any of the correspondence that has been coming in the press and so on and so forth, this is referred to as talaqul bidat. Talaqul bidat, talaqul bidat. This is the terminology used and that is the correct terminology. What is your opinion, understanding about something which is bidat? Is it halal or haram? So where is the confusion? So today what I'm going to do is briefly I'm going to talk about what the actual way of talaq is in Islam according to the Quran and Sunnah, and also if time permits a little bit about the history of how this triple talaq thing came to be so that we are clear in our minds. So to begin with, please understand this. If somebody tells you that the method in Islam to give talaq is three, saying talaq three times, please stop them immediately and tell them, sorry, that is, your understanding is completely incorrect. That is not the way to give talaq in Islam. So make this very, very clear to people, at least those who hear this khutbah and who read what is going to come to you. This should be clear to you. What I am requesting Azhar to do is to send you the, obviously he will send you the text, but apart from the text, he will also send you a detailed khutbah which I recorded, video which I recorded about this whole issue of talaq. So take your time and watch that in detail, as well as a video that I recorded on the issue of marriage which is obviously related to this. Watch that also. So that should take care of your weekend as far as this weekend is concerned, inshallah. Now the basic principle in Islam, Islamic jurisprudence, is to go back to the book of Allah, the Quran, and to the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in any case of Islamic law. And that is all that we need in this case for it to become abundantly clear. If triple talaq in one sitting is a practice that must be insisted upon or abandoned in favor of what the Quran and Sunnah direct. My brothers and sisters, Islam came as a liberating force to take people out of slavery to their desires and make them obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. The most enslaved people of the world, and that is the case sadly even to this day, are women. In the days before Islam, women were commodities to be bought and sold and inherited. Islam put a stop to all of that in the 5th century itself. Islam asserted the integrity, the individuality, and the power of women. Islam made them absolute owners of their property, with their husbands having no right in it. Islam made them absolute owners of their person, with the right to choose their husbands and to leave them, even if the husband didn't want that. So Islam is, unfortunately, today, even in the 21st century, and I am giving you just one piece of data, as on the day on 2015 data, which is the latest data available on employment of women and men, the comparative employment wages or salaries paid to men and women in America and Europe, women are paid 80% of what men are paid for the same job, which is that women are paid 20% less than men in the US and in Europe. And these are and I'll send you all the links for that. So that is, yet it is Islam which is portrayed by the media as being backward. Now, it's not in the scope of this khutbah to talk about all the rights of women and so on and so forth. I think it is, I just want to suffice to say that Islam gives women rights, or gave women rights, in the 5th century, 6th century, which a lot of women do not have to this day in the rest of the world which is not Islamic. The sad thing is that women do not even have those rights which Islam gave them, even in the Islamic world. And that is because Islam gave them the rights, but Muslim men deny them those rights. And those who deny the rights to the women will answer to them before Allah subhanahu, will answer for that before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. Now, in terms of marriage, one of the many evils of the pre-Islamic era was the way that women used to be divorced. So, men would divorce their wives, and then they would take them back, and they would divorce them again, and take them back, and so on. And it was like a tennis match, you know, go on, come back, go, come back, go, come back, to the extent where people, there was confusion. Are you still married, not married, what's the situation? So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put a stop to all of that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayat in Surah Al-Baqarah, 229 and 230. And there are only four ayat that you need to remember: Surah Al-Baqarah 229, 230, and Surah Al-Talaq 1 and 4. These are the four ayat which clearly specify all the parameters with respect to talaq and with respect to idda, which is the period that is compulsory and liable once you give a talaq. So in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الطلاق مرتان فإمساكم بمعروف أو تسريح بإحسان ولا يحل لكم أن تأخذوا مما آتيتموهن شيئا إلا أن يخاف ألا يقيم حدود الله فإن خفتم ألا يقيم حدود الله فلا جناح عليهما فيما افتدت به تلك حدود الله فلا تعتدوها ومن يتعدى حدود الله فأولئك هم الظالمون فإن طلقها فلا تحل له من بعد حتى تنكها زوجا غيره فإن طلقها فلا جناح عليهما أن يتراجعا إن ظنا أن يقيما حدود الله وتلك حدود الله يبينها لقوم يعلمون. الله سبحانه وتعالى said, which means the divorce is twice. Allah said the divorce is twice, and I'm going to explain all of this, so just listen carefully. The divorce is twice. After that, either you retain her on reasonable terms or release her bil ihsan, with kindness and with mercy. And it is not lawful for you men to take back from your wives any of your mahr which you have given them, except when both parties fear that they would be unable to keep the limits ordained by Allah. Example, to deal with each other on a fair basis. And then if you fear that they would not be able to keep the limits ordained by Allah, then there is no sin on either of them if she gives back the mahr or a part of it as her khul. So this is talking about the woman taking the khula, which is a divorce which is initiated by the woman, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that in such a case you can negotiate, and she can either give it all back to you, give back your mahr, or she may not give back anything because you agreed, or she may give back a part of it. These are the limits ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so do not transgress them, and whoever transgresses the limits ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then such are the zalimun. meaning people who will be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next ayah 230, Allah said, and if he has divorced her for the third time, then she is not lawful unto him thereafter until she has married another husband. Then if the other husband divorces her, it is no sin for both of them to reunite, provided they feel they can keep the limits ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the limits of Allah, which he makes plain for people who have knowledge, who have ilm. Now, the intention of the Sharia is three. One is to make marriage easy and adultery or zina difficult. So the first intention of the Sharia is make marriage easy and simple and make adultery and zina difficult. It is haram, you should not do it, but even if somebody wants to do it, make this difficult. And what is the way of making it difficult to make marriage easy? So you get married, alhamdulillah, then there is no need to go anywhere. So this is the Sharia of Islam, first of the principles and first of the intention of the Sharia. Second one is to make marriage easy and quick and divorce possible, but with time to permit reconciliation. So the purpose, I'm not saying make divorce difficult, because it's not difficult, but Allah said, how long does it take to make nikah? 10 seconds. How long does it take for a divorce to completely happen? 3 months. And we'll come to that. Right? So, ijab wa qubul, how long does it take? You know, you accept and she accepts and that's it. Khalas, you are married. But for divorce, it's not so simple. It's not like saying some word once, thrice, 10 times and then she's gone home. No. So, it is possible, but there is time for reconciliation. Why? Because of the third one, which is to save the marriage as far as possible. The maqsad of the Sharia is, marriage is an ibadah, if it is done according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, the Sharia seeks to save the marriage. The Sharia is not in a hurry to destroy the marriage. Right? So, first think about this and say, what can possibly be objectionable about these three principles to anyone of any religion? Right? Make the marriage easy, make fornication, make adultery difficult, number one. Number two, make it easy and quick, make marriage easy and quick, and divorce permissible, but after some time. Give time for reconciliation, give time for tempers to cool, give time for people to have some dialogue, give time for some of the elders to get involved in the process and try to make things okay. So give time for that. If it still doesn't work out, then is divorce possible? Of course. Islam does not condemn the marriage, the man or the woman to remain in a marriage which has become a living hell. Islam does not say, until death do us part. This is Christian theology, it's not Islam. Right? And third one is to save the marriage as far as possible. Now, I narrated for you and recited for you the ayat of the Quran. Now, let me tell you how Rasulullah ﷺ operated in this aspect. In a hadith narrated by in Bukhari, which is a Sahih hadith, narrated by Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he said that he had divorced his wife while she was menstruating, while she was in her menses. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, his father, asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about this. He said to him, this is what my son has done. What is the hukum on this? What is the, what must he do? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Order your son to take her back and keep her until she finishes her menstrual period, until she is clean. Then to wait until she gets her next period, which means another full month. So whatever the period of this few days, whatever were left, then another full month, wait until she gets her next period and becomes clean again. So until the period comes, then until the period is finished, which means now over a month has passed. Whereupon, if he wishes to keep her, he can do so. And if he wishes to divorce her, then he can divorce her before having sexual intercourse with her in the next clean period. Sexual intercourse in the menstrual period is haram. This is not permissible anyway. So, what is the Prophet ﷺ saying? And then he said, this is what is prescribed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his book as the period fixed for women who are meant to be divorced. And this hadith is in Bukhari. So what is he? What is the Prophet ﷺ saying? What happened? What happened was Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu gave his wife for divorce. At that time she was in a menstrual period. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu came and asked Nabi ﷺ, my son has done this, is it correct? Nabi ﷺ said, no, it is not correct. Tell him to take her back. Now, say for example, he divorced her on the second day or third day of a menstrual period. Another 5 days, 6 days is left. He said, take her back. Let these 5-6 days finish. Then the entire clean period, let it finish. And in that clean period, he must not have intercourse with her. If he has intercourse with her, she is back as his wife. There is no question of any divorce. She is back as his wife anyway because he called her back. So let the whole clean period finish. Then let the next menstrual cycle come. Let that menstrual cycle finish. Now when she has had her bath and all that, she has had her ghusl. Now she is clean. In that period, if he still wants to divorce her, he can divorce her without having intercourse, without intimacy. So what do we understand from this? What is the correct way? Three things. I'm making it very simple. All you need to do is remember these two or three things and you are good. What are the three things? Number one, give talaq only during the clean period. First rule, if you want to give talaq, give only during the clean period. Number two, give talaq only once. Right? So you give talaq only once. You say, I have given you talaq. I am separate from you. Whatever word you use, give talaq only once. And the third rule is, now you have given her talaq. So now what happens? She is now in her iddat of talaq. Now the iddat of talaq is different from the iddat of somebody whose husband has died. The iddat of widowhood, if a lady's husband has died, then the period is 4 months and 10 days. Whereas the iddat of talaq is 3 menstrual cycles, or in the case where women have irregular menstrual cycles, or if the people are menopaused, which means that they are of an age where they are no longer having menstrual cycles, then 3 months. So it's either 3 cycles or 3 months, whichever may apply in that case. This is the iddat of talaq, and I will give you the references of Surah Talaq where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specified this. So what must you do? Give talaq once in the clean period. So now what happens? The wife is in her iddat period. In this iddat period, she continues to remain your wife in every aspect except one, which is intimacy. She is your wife in terms of her duty. She is her wife in terms of her rights. She is your wife in terms of all that she used to do for you. She is your wife in terms of all that you used to do for her. If you die in this period, she will inherit from you as your wife. If she dies during that period, you will inherit from her as her husband. All of this remains valid. Absolutely nothing changes. Where does she live? In your house. That is her house. She doesn't go to her father's house or anybody's house. She continues to live in your house as your wife with only one difference, which is that you do not sleep with her during this period. There is no sexual intercourse. There is no intimacy during this period. Now, we are not saying here that you should not have intimacy. We are saying if you intended to do talaq, then the intimacy should not be there. So now you have given her talaq, 1 month passed. Your anger cooled down, whatever the misunderstanding was there, that is over. Can you have intimacy with your wife? Of course. She is your wife. Do you need somebody's permission? Nothing. You have intimacy with her. So now what happens? That talaq is over. She is back as your wife. But in terms of the number of talaqs that you gave to your wife, as a record is being maintained, how many have you given now? One. Right? Now, take another. Some more time passes, couple of years pass, again some problem, again you give a talaq. How many times? Once. What period? Clean period. Same rule. So you gave her a talaq once. Now she is again in her iddat period. What are the rules of that iddat period? Exactly the same as the first iddat period. She continues to remain your wife. She continues to do everything. You continue to do everything except for intimacy. If there is intimacy, she is back home. She is back to you. So you either call her, therefore you called her back. So now imagine that this happened. Second time you gave her talaq. But before the completion of that iddat period of 3 cycles or 3 months, you called her back, you had intimacy. So she is back as your wife. And then the two of you live happily ever after until one of you dies and that is the end of that story. Alhamdulillah, you had a successful marriage. However, if this didn't happen, some more time passed. Now, again a problem and so on and so forth. Now you gave her a talaq for the third time. How many times did you pronounce the third one? Again once. But this was the third one, because you gave the first one, called her back, you gave the second one, called her back. Now you gave her a third one. Now what happens is that this is called qat'i. Now she is haram for you. Now you cannot call her back. Now she's gone. Now if you want to marry her, what must happen? Which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in ayah 230. She must marry somebody else, consummate the marriage, be his wife. And in the normal course of affairs, if her second husband divorces her, or if the second husband dies or something like that, and if she is willing to come back to you and you want to marry her, then you can marry her. But after this process of being married to somebody else is over. Now please understand this. What is Allah saying? Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, you arrange for her to get married to somebody else, write a document to say that you are going to be married to my wife today, and tomorrow morning you are going to divorce her, and here is a document, sign it, and here is, when you divorce her, I will give you 20,000 rupees or 30,000 rupees or 25 lakhs or whatever, depending on how much you love your wife. So now you sleep with her for one night, and then I take her back, and you call this what? Halala. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. This is harama. This is not halala. This is against the Quran and Sunnah. This is like the Yahud used to try to deceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. This is the Muslims trying to deceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. Na'udhu billahi min dhalik. This is prostitution. Simple as that. What else do you call you sending your wife to somebody else to sleep for a night and paying him for it? Is not prostitution? What is it then? Have some haya and some sharam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, maybe the second husband she marries is such a phenomenal guy that he loves her, she loves him, and she says, to hell with you, I am very happy I got divorced. He never divorces her. Right? So she's gone. Period. Now, therefore, method of divorce in Islam, one divorce in the clean period. I explained to you what happens if you take her back, and you can take her back two times. So what is Islam doing now? Islam is giving you the opportunity, keeping the door of coming back together open two times. Now why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put a lock on that door on the third time? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want this to become a game, which is what the people used to do in the Jahiliyyah days. Send her back, take her back, send her back, take her back. So they said, no. If the thing didn't work out two times, and a third time also you had to do it, then obviously this thing is not for you. So, she is away. Now, come back to the first one, which is that you gave this first talaq. You gave her talaq how many times? Once. In a clean period. Right? But at the end of that cycle, at the end of the iddat period of 3 cycles or 3 months, in that period you didn't take her back. So now what happens? You gave her a talaq once, iddat period is over. So what happened now? It is talaq. You are free from her, she is free from you, she has gone home, that is it, period. Do you have to marry her again? No. Does she have to marry you? No. Can she marry anybody? Yes. Can you marry anybody? Yes. It's as simple as that. However, and this is where Islam leaves this door open, and this is what is so compassionate and what is so fair and what is so just about this deen. You gave her talaq in the clean period once. Iddat period is over. Now she is no longer your wife. She has gone home. Your relationship with her is over. Year passes, 2 years pass. You did not marry anybody else, she did not marry anybody else. Now you start missing her, she is missing you. Maybe there are children. Children are asking for daddy or what not. Right? So all of this happens. People come and sit and talk to you and say, what kind of thing, why did you divorce your wife? She is lonely there, you are lonely here, and so on and so on. So you decide, fine, I think this is a mistake, we shouldn't do that. I want to get married to her. So now what happens? Very simple, get married to her. You go and give another meher, you make a nikah, and you are husband and wife. And now you live happily ever after because you went through one talaq. You know what the problem is? You never get to give it again. Does she have to marry somebody else before marrying you? No, nothing, nothing, nothing. Absolutely no problem. You gave her one talaq, cycle passed, iddat period passed, she was no longer your wife. Literally on the second day after that, you can marry her again, but probably you won't do that. So, whatever the time period passed, right? And after that, you decide, no, I think this woman was great. I mean, I want to be married to her. Just marry her again, period. Now, what can be simpler than this? Now, you might say, well, if this is so simple, how come three talaqs happened? And in the text of this, I have given you all the details of why and so on and so forth. So, I am not going into that just now. I just want to do the gist of this so that you are very clear. Why would somebody say talaq three times even if he knows that saying once is what is permissible and saying once is enough? If you want to divorce your wife, saying talaq one time will do it. There is no need to say it three times. And if you say it three times, then you are committing haram because you are trying to now short circuit. And I'll tell you why that is. But why would someone do it? It's very simple. Azhar is standing there at the door. So if I tell Azhar, I want some water. Now, now, now. So how much water do I want? You get the point I'm saying? If there is an emergency and I'm telling you, go, 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 go. So how many times will you go? It's as simple as that. Right? The guy got crazy. He said, talak, 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 talak. So now how many talaks? You actually counted. Wallahi. Let me give you another example. How many salawat, how many salah are fard in Islam? You got doubt about this. Five, right? So I am telling you, I will pray five salat. But because I work and so on and so forth, I have to travel, all this is complicated. So why don't I simply pray Salatul Fajr at the time of Salatul Fajr? Two rakat Fajr, four rakat Zuhar, four rakat Asr, three rakat Maghrib, four rakat Isha, I am done. Is it valid? I am praying five. I have not changed the number of rakat. Is it valid or not valid? No. Why? Time. Time. The period between the salawat is as fard as the salah itself. There is a time period between Salatul Fajr and Salatul Dhuhr. There is a time period between Salatul Dhuhr and Salatul Asr and between Asr and Maghrib and Maghrib and Isha. This time is part of the salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the salah is fard at its time. So there is a time period between the salawat. Similarly, there is a time period between talaq. Between the first time you give talaq and the second time you want to give talaq, there is a time period. If you do not allow the iddat to happen, then you are short-circuiting that. You are saying, no, no, I don't have time for all this. Allah said, third talaq is qatai, therefore I will give all three at once. And the woman is gone. First of all, it makes no logical sense because the woman is gone anyway with even one talaq. So why would you want to do three? And second thing is that you are now trying to change the order which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. Now, what did Rasulullah do in this particular period? Did triple talaq happen during the time of Nabi also or not? The answer is yes, triple talaq happened even in the time of Rasulullah. There was a man by the name of Rukana ibn Abd Yazid. Now, he divorced his wife three times. He said talaq, talaq, talaq at once, in one sitting three times. He came to, and this is a hadith narrated by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. Now he came to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a great state of agitation because he didn't want to do that. He did it, and now he realized this happened. So he came to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, this is what I have done. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, how did you divorce her? He said, I divorced her thrice. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in one sitting. He said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, they are counted as only one, so take her back if you wish. So he took her back. Now this is a Sahih hadith. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu mentioned that in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he always did this. If somebody came to him with three talaqs, saying that I have said it thrice, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam only counted it as once. The same thing continued in the time of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and he also did the same thing. And then how this thing changed and so on, later on are things that, as I have said, I have all the details are there in this text of this khutbah. Please read it. I don't want to confuse you with a lot of historical detail and so on and so forth. Now, just now, as far as the issue of triple talaq is concerned, please understand. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first of all, let me begin with a dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never put you in a situation where you have to give talaq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill your marriages with khair. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill your hearts with forbearance and with taqwa and with raham and with forgiveness for each other. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you love one another. May Allah fill your hearts with love for one another, respect and izzah for one another, so that there is even the question of talaq never arises. Those of you who are married and those of you who are to be married, may this dua also be affected on you, that the question of marriage itself, question of talaq itself, does not arise in your life. But you still need to know, because these are issues. If you are getting married, then you must know also what are the issues of talaq, even if you never use them, and may you never use them. So what is the issue of talaq? If you need to give talaq only once in the clean period. Your wife has gone into her, by this action, your wife will go into her iddat period. During the iddat period, everything remains the same except intimacy. You can take her back, which means have intimacy, and she is back with you. If you do not take her back, at the end of that iddat period of 3 cycles or 3 months, whichever it applies to her, she is no longer your wife. Talaq is finished and final. You go home, she goes home. That is the end of the story. Right? This is all that you need to know about how to give talaq. How long did it take to learn this one thing? Maybe 20 seconds or something? Right? One talaq, clean period, leave her alone. How long does it take? And if you don't leave her alone, alhamdulillah, all power to you. Take her back, brilliant. But if you don't take her back, she is gone, you are free, she is free, alhamdulillah. This is the issue of triple talaq. As far as the so-called halala is concerned, what is it?
Harama.
It is completely and totally haram. So if anyone tells you that halala and triple talaq is justified and proven according to the Quran and Sunnah, then this is a completely incorrect statement. Because if the triple talaq is provable and it is mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah, then how do you call it talaqul bidat? So it's either a bidat or it is the sunnah. You can't have a sunnah which is a bidah, and you can't have a bidah which is a sunnah. This is a oxymoronic statement. It's a logical impossibility. Right? So if you have a bidah, no matter what kind of bidah, if you have a bidah and if you have a sunnah, which will you take? The sunnah. It's a no-brainer, right? Why would you take a bidah when you have a sunnah? In the case of talaq, you have a sunnah which is in accordance with the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. When the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were revealed, and these are the ayat which I gave you and I have given you the references, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said talaq is once, and after that is the iddat period. What did we see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam doing in the two ahadiths of Abdullah ibn Umar and Rukana radiallahu anhum? What did we see Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam doing? We saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam implementing the ayat of the Quran. Please notice, I'm not talking here about the fatwa of Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi, or the usul in Hanbali madhab, or the usul with Ahlul Hadith. I'm not interested in any firqa, I'm not interested in anybody. When I have the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I have the sunnah of His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam interpreting that word in action, I do not need anybody's fatwa. And that is my submission to you. Alhamdulillah, we have a deen which is clear. We have a deen which gives us solutions to our life's issues while remaining in the deen. If a Christian person, if a Catholic wants to get a divorce, what must he do? He has to leave Christianity to get his rights or get her rights. He has to go to a civil court and get a judgment. If a Hindu wants a divorce, what must they do? They have to go to a civil court and get a judgment, because the religion does not have a codified legal system to provide them that relief within the religion itself. In Islam, alhamdulillah, we have a codified system which provides us with relief within the religion itself. Now, if you take that codified system and if you want to change it around and you want to modify it and you get yourself into problems, how did the halala happen? Because the triple talaq in one sitting happened. You put yourself in the problem where you legalized giving three talaqs in one sitting. So now you got stuck. So what do? You invent something which is haram. Instead of that, if you had stayed with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered, and if you had stayed with what Rasulullah implemented, you would not be in any situation which needed any kind of escape. So my reminder to myself and you is, stick with the Quran and Sunnah, because that is what we will be held accountable for. Alhamdulillah, we have a beautiful religion which gives us all the solutions in the religion itself. Let us stay with that and let us look for the solutions within the religion. Let us not try to change the religion to suit our nafs, because this will put us into serious, serious problems. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to be pleased with all of you and to give you beautiful marriages and to give you beautiful children. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill your lives with His noor and with His rahmah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable you and to give you the tawfiq to spend a little bit of time to learn about your religion. It is an absolutely shameful thing to live in a state of ignorance about basic issues of our own religion. Please understand this, right? I remember once another khutbah, I asked people, do you know what are the faraid of ghusl? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but the reality is that there are Muslims who are living, who have 4 or 5 children, who do not know what are the faraid of ghusl. So you are living in a state of permanent impurity. And how long does it take to learn the faraid of ghusl? 10 seconds. And you don't have that 10 seconds. So please don't do this to yourself. Learn the basics of your religion, because this is essential for your dunya wal akhirah. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رحمن الرحيم.